Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
Welcome to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, and it's a pretty good day if you're in favor of across-the-board extensions of the current tax rates. We say current because tax cuts happened in 2001 and 2003, but they were, of course, sunset for the end of this year. So we're now just days away from a lot of tax cuts, not just the income tax expiring. But it looks like, Jim, there's going to be some significant progress, and Republicans will get their way at least for a year or two on extending those tax cuts for the top bracket. Here's Mitch McConnell talking with Meet the Press on Sunday about the fact that this process is moving forward.
Let's put it this way. We've had more conversations in the last 2 weeks than we've had in the last 2 years, and I think that's a good sign, a growing awareness that the power's going to be more symmetrical in the next Congress.
And the main reason there seems to be talk for compromise now, or at least big momentum for that, is because over the weekend, the Senate tried to follow the lead of the House and only pass the middle-class tax cut extensions. That got rejected in the Senate. So here's John Kerry's spin also on Meet the Press yesterday.
Well, the president's not caving. The president insisted that we have the votes that we have yesterday so that America could see what the Republicans are fighting for, and they could see what we're fighting for.
Boy, it's interesting. And if you don't have the votes, suddenly you're position changes. This could be an interesting 2 years for the president.
It could be. And first of all, I like to think of this not as the Bush tax cuts being extended, but the Obama tax hikes being postponed and perhaps hopefully canceled. I think it's very important to think about what we, you know, where we are is the normal. The Clinton era years were not the normal one. And the other thing which is also kind of interesting to watch in all of this churn on Capitol Hill, it's interesting to see McConnell saying we've had more conversation in 2 weeks than they have in 2 years. It's amazing what power does for you. All of a sudden, you get your phone calls returned.
Right.
I'm kind of pleased to see this. For Republicans, seeing your paycheck remain the same in January isn't going to feel fantastic, particularly when we've learned since we've last chatted how bad the unemployment circumstance is. But for Democrats, this really is a morale crusher. Because you think about it. They for years they've been expecting we're going to repeal the Bush tax, we're going to repeal the Bush tax cuts, and then Obama comes into office and they say, okay, because of a recession, they couldn't do it immediately, and so the big concession on their part was pushing it back to this time period, to the end of 2010, 2011, and for the past 2 years we've been saying, well, the problem is Congress doesn't need to do anything. If they don't do anything, they just expire, they just disappear. So it's kind of a backdoor tax increase. The debate has not played out that way. It has played out to be, I think, a major liability for Democrats, and that's why you see Obama making what seems like a fairly large concession from where he wanted to be, that he's actually going to end up not raising taxes on much of anyone if the deal remains as we've been hearing so far.
So you don't think the MoveOn.org types are going to be stoked because it's only a 1 or 2 year extension and not made permanent like the middle class tax cuts? I'm shocked that they're not going to fall for that.
Greg, put it this way. They've been waiting 10 years to raise these taxes.
I know.
And they may have to wait another 10.
Yeah, because 2 years from now, guess who's going to be running for re-election? And the last thing he wants to do is have this fight all over again. So you're probably looking at way more than 2 years.
Running in 2012, pledging to raise taxes. He will completely fit into that Mondale archetype we've been yearning for. And what's kind of fascinating is that, with each passing year, it will become normal. The other thing which also I think is kind of just an illustrative point of this is how absolutely certain the Obama administration was 2 years ago that we'd be in much better economic shape at this point, that people wouldn't mind taxes going up, or at least the rich wouldn't mind it because, the economy would be growing, unemployment would be low, nirvana would have the oceans would have lowered, the sick would be healed, and, the celestial choirs would be singing by now. And here we are, and things aren't quite that way, Greg.
Yeah, apparently not. On to the bad martini now for today, and we actually had to sift through a few to narrow down to just one today, and that's our old friend Christine O'Donnell. Obviously, we've had mixed reviews on her from the get-go, but as Jim has revealed in the campaign spot on Monday, Christine O'Donnell ends her campaign, a campaign she lost soundly, with nearly $1 million left in the bank. So if you took part in that huge money bomb right after she beat Mike Castle in the primary, congratulations. Your money still exists probably in a bank in Delaware.
If it's not being transferred to the Caymans, no. worth noting that I, was critical of her during the primary. Many of my readers liked her. I don't like fighting with my readers. So once she won the primary, you'll notice the campaign spot was not a place of criticism of Christine O'Donnell. The Republicans of Delaware had spoken. I respected that choice. The election came and went. She did not win, as several of her supporters insisted she could. In fact, she never came close. I went and checked. She never polled within 10 points of Democrat Chris Coons. She did this while spending $6.1 million, while Coons spent $3.2. And I am just kind of left struck by the fact that conservative grassroots, including probably quite a few NRO readers and Radio America listeners, opened their wallets, dug deep, and did with everything they could to help put her over the top. And that money is now sitting there. Greg, I think this is possibly the worst campaign of this cycle and many of maybe of many cycles, in the sense that very few candidates squander as many resources as Christine O'Donnell did this time. And I like everyone who kind of told us how great she was going to be and how she could do it. She should be start thinking about returning some of these donations. And everyone who encouraged donations to her ought to sit in the corner and just think for a while, ponder the choices they have made. And perhaps people should ponder the consequences of doubting me.
Yeah, hopefully that money could have been put to better use. It's hard to say, given the deficit she lost by, whether
Ken
it would have made
Sharon
any
Engel,
difference.
Dino Rossi, hey, you know, Randy Altshuler now with, you know, only a few hundred. I'm sure none of these guys felt like they needed a couple hundred, you know, a couple $1,000 there.
No, they were set. They didn't need any more help. Not at all. On to the president one more time, and this is our third martini, the crazy martini, because as the president is wont to do, his persistent, nonstop, laser-like focus on the economy just seems to run into speed bumps all the time. It seems like just when he finally gets back on track, he can't spend more than a day or two focusing on the economy, and the lame duck session is no different. The president spending a lot of political oxygen, Jim, pushing for his top national security priority.
There is no higher national security priority for the lame duck session of Congress. This is not about politics. It's about national security. This is not a matter that can be delayed.
He's talking about the START Treaty, the latest version of the START Treaty negotiated with Russia. Vladimir Putin has said the United States would be stupid not to sign it, so clearly we have to follow his advice and do it.
Because he always has America's best interest at heart.
Of course.
It's kind of fascinating to watch this because Peggy Noonan in her column this weekend had proposed a grand compromise in which Democrats make a concession on the tax cuts, which it appears they may have done, and the Republicans make a concession on the START Treaty. And that way everybody goes home happy. And I'm sure there are a lot of great folks at NRO elsewhere who would argue against that. Mitt Romney's argued against the START Treaty, John Bolton. But I got to tell you, Greg, I mean, in a grand firmament of really important issues, the START Treaty isn't really up there. I mean, I might, you know, probably I'll get a whole bunch of email over this, but I got to, in terms of make or break key to the daily lives of Americans, you know, the START Treaty seems kind of distant and theoretical, and of all the decisions Obama has made in the foreign policy world, I actually even think the START Treaty is probably second-tier disastrous, not even first-tier disastrous. So I'm left with this kind of interesting thing that why, you know, that the Obama administration has made this their line in the sand, their hill to die on, their issue that they really absolutely cannot compromise on. And my understanding is there are a whole bunch of congressional Democrats who are similarly incredulous that this is the primary focus of the White House in their, you know, lame duck session. And I got to tell you, you know, like it's lucky for us. Maybe he thinks he could get his maybe Obama's really miffed he didn't get the Nobel this year and he's trying to make a really great case for next year. But for some reason, this is his priority. And I have to think that conservatives and Republicans benefit when Obama picks issues that are really not, you know, front and center in the forefront of the minds of the American people.
Yeah, I think he just wants something to point to as an achievement on the international stage, since there unfortunately really isn't anything over the past 2 years that would suggest that there is.
And, once we repeal health care, his presidency will come down to the START Treaty and the Lilly Ledbetter Pay Act. That'll basically be the what the history books will say about this president.
Yeah, I think that was one of the first pieces of legislation he passed, Jim, and he still cites the Lilly Ledbetter Act every chance he gets as if that's one of the major accomplishments of the administration. We'll see how that plays in a couple of years, but we'll restock the bar and have plenty more martinis tomorrow. Looking forward to it then.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Tuesday for the next Three Martini Lunch.